I think I found it. Okay, so I be deep on the websites, right? Like, I be going deep, deep, deep because I couldn't find a book either. And I've been, hold on. I had to turn that radio off for a minute. Your girl at work. But anyways, yes, I've been digging deep, 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 deep for this book because I've been looking for this book since I was like a freshman in high school because I heard about Erica Kennedy and like what happened to her and what's the girl's name? I think her name is Corey. Allegedly somebody that Jay-Z was with back in the day and they killed her, and allegedly her baby that she was pregnant with before she passed is allegedly Blue Ivy. Bitch, it's too much. But anyways, I'm on my VPN on my computer and I found this website and it has a copy of the book and I think I want to read it. It has all 536 pages. I done read through it kind of a little bit and it's crazy. This is where it starts at, Bling. This is the front of it. Now we can get in the context of this, right? So this is like the first chapter, if you want to say, and I'm not even want to say it's the introduction, so not even the first chapter yet. And to me, if you like realize and like the gist of who she was referring to, it's allegedly Diddy. And it seems like in this first little section of the book that she's talking about a meeting that happened with Clive Davis and Diddy. Okay, so here you are at the intro, so I'm gonna just read it right here. Okay, the introduction. So it is Lamont and Irv Green. So keep those two names in mind, but I feel like Lamont is Diddy and Irv Green is Clive Davis. Just listen. Okay. Lamont sauntered into the grill room like he owned the place. Mr. Jackson, the maitre d' greeted him warmly. Mr. Green is waiting at your usual table. Lamont gifted him with a courageous, I don't know that word, I'm sorry, half smile. Their usual table was the best one in Midtown Manhattan restaurant where the power players converged. A dark-skinned man with an imposing build and a cocksure swagger. Who that's not like? Lamont Jackson was not conventionally handsome. Yeah, that right. Rather, he had that well-groomed sheen particular to rich image-conscious... What? Hold on. Rather, he had that well-groomed sheen particular to rich image-consciousness of a man. He cut a formidable swath as he strode into the... She is very detailed. He cut a formidable swath as he strode into the room in his favorite Burberry suit, chin up, acknowledging fellow members of the media elite with friendly nods. The masculine scent of his Bulgari cologne lingering in his wake, he derived a soul deep satisfaction from being watched, being known. He felt their eyes upon him as he approached Irv Gotti, the 66-year-old chairman of Augusta Music, who has been ranked number 10 on last year's Entertainment Weekly Power 100. Now, pause. If you think about it, at this time, what was this? Hold on, I gotta look up her death really quick. Okay, so I kind of did a fact check, and so Erica Kennedy passed in 2012. But this book came out in 2004. So if you think about it, I'm not really sure where Clive Davis's career was at the time. But I don't remember seeing Clive Davis too much, if you want to say, in the 2000s. But you know who we seen? Diddy. I'm sorry. Okay, so yeah, second paragraph. And it's saying how Irv had been ranked the lowest, which is number 10 in Entertainment Weekly, but his own record label had just received, you know, their best year. After his own record label had achieved its best year to date, Lamont had landed in the magazine's annual honorable mention spot at 100.5. An insult. He would have preferred not to have been mentioned at all. Lamont consulted his petite leap as he slid into the booth. Am I late? Irv Green was a stickler for punctuality. It was something he and Lamont had in common. "No," Irv said cordially, not bothering to get up, "right on time." They enjoyed a warm professional relationship. There was no need for formality, though. If Lamont had arrived first, he would have instinctively, which I would too, stood to greet the music industry legend. See? They ordered lunch and made small talk until Irv finally addressed the unspoken topic hanging in the air. "So it's true," he announced in between bites of salmon. "Really?" Lamont attempted to sound surprised, even though rumors had already been swirling around for a month. "They want you out?" "Yeah," Irv said. "The fuckers." He leaned over in a confidential whisper. "So everyone already knows, huh?" "Well, not everyone. What are people saying?" "Listen," Lamont said. "HMG can't ask you to step down. They have no cause." "And who is the big label that runs all labels in our world?" "UMG. Come on now." "Anyways, none," Irv agreed immediately. "It's forced retirement." He was reconciled to the fact that he was being pushed out as the head of Augusta, where he had been cranking out hits for more than 30 years. "What bullshit," Lamont spat, truly outraged, even at 38 years old, as the CEO of Triple Large Entertainment, the hip-hop label he funded in a joint venture with Augusta. Come on. "Who funded Bad Boy?" "Clive Davis." "Come on now. Think about it." "Anyways, Lamont wasn't feeling the heat from younger moguls in training. Bullshit it is," Irv sighed, "but we operate in a world that worships the young and exiles the old." He shrugged. He had been wrestling with the dilemma for a month and had to let go of the anger. Technically, Lamont had to report to Irv. But mostly he was the master of his own ship. Irv wasn't going to tell Lamont, an African-American who had the pulse of... Oh, I got my phone just tweaked. Irv wasn't going to tell Lamont, an African-American who had the pulse of urban culture, how to run a hip-hop label. Irv had been one of Lamont's most vocal supporters to the higher-ups at HMG, the German... I don't even know that word. Conglomerate? I don't know that word. I'm not even going to try to chop it up. The Germans that owned Augusta, basically. That's what they're saying. The white folks at Augusta. The same fuckers who were trying to push Irv out of his job. "You remember the first time we had lunch here," Lamont reflected, 9 years ago, when we were working out the joint venture. "I remember it like yesterday," Irv said. "You had on jeans that were too baggy, Air Jordans, a yellow hooded Morehouse sweatshirt, and you kept taking calls on a cell phone that was the size of a brick. I was embarrassed to be seen with you." Lamont didn't want it to be reminded of that. "But remember what you said to me that day? People were just starting to realize hip-hop wasn't a passing fad, a facade. I said the Germans at HMG were racist, and the only reason they wanted to get in bed with me was because green was the only color that could blind them to my own, bind me to their own. Irv nodded, and I said, "I'm a Jew, and you think they like me better? To them, we're both niggers." "Wow. Accept it and move on." That's what Irv said to Lamont. That's crazy. They both chuckled at the recollection. "It was the best advice I'd ever gotten," Lamont said. "Still is." He'd learned so much from Irv. How to handle corporate politics, how to groom and break an artist, even how to dress them. Lamont looked at Irv now, casually in a tired white shirt, no tie, what was left of his dark brown hair elegantly slicked back. The shirt was so crisp, so sturdy, so blindingly white as almost a glow. "Where did you even buy a shirt like that? And how much did it cost?" "You also said," Lamont continued to trip down memory lane to massage Irv's ego. "You make hit records. We all make money and everyone's happy." A thoughtful pause. "You've been producing hits for 35 years, Irv. You made them a lot of money. You're still at the top of your game. It's not right what they're trying to do. That's what everybody's saying." This is crazy. I ain't even done with the intro, but I'm running out of time, so I'm going to do the intro in the next part. and then we're going to get into the chapters, because I really want to read this and see what's really